Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray you've had a good day today and that God has blessed each and every one of you. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forth, to bring to us the guidance that we need, and to give us the truth of this, your word. And Father, to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive so that we can receive and keep it within our hearts so that we can bring it forth, Father, to help others come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now be with us, Father, throughout this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be dealing here with the 5th chapter of Mark. We've been through some parables and things, and now we're here in the 5th chapter of Mark, getting into a few more things about the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry and the power. And these are things that I really want you paying attention to. And there is a great reason for that, which we'll get into. All right. Verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the feathers broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, you know, for someone to be in that kind of shape, that's getting really in a bad shape. But he could stand even cutting himself with stones. It now said that he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjourn thee by God that thou torment me not." Now this is the unclean spirit, that demonic spirit, the way he's talking to the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus had told him, says, for he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." 9, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." You see, it wasn't just one. We don't know how many. He just says, "Many, for we are many." And 10, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." Now, you see, they're wanting a place to go because they know that they can't withstand him and not wanting him to destroy them. So they're asking him to send them there into the swine. 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. But it didn't do them a lot of good. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So it didn't do them any good to go down swine. But there was enough in this one man to infiltrate into 2,000 swine or pigs. That's what swine is hogs. And they were 2,000. Now, and they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. That kind of power is making them afraid because they don't know what is coming next or how he will deal with them. Now he does, they don't. They haven't learned yet. They're really, he's what they need. 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell it to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now they're praying and asking him to leave them, out of, get out of their coast. They're that much afraid. As I said, because they don't know. And they're not really wanting to learn because of the fear. And they're just wanting rid of him. Eighteen. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He's wanting to go, the one that had all these unclean spirits, now is wanting to go with Jesus. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. He's sending so others can see him now and know what has been done. That is the best witness that he could have. Now, 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. They marveled at it. But, you see, they don't have the understanding. Just like until we came to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to study God's word and listen, we didn't have that kind of knowledge either. That's why we were walking in the ways of the world, filled with the sin in our lives. But it took that for us and our lives to begin to change. And then when the great change came was when the Holy Spirit came in to live. And that made a great difference in us. Now, 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now this man's got faith, because he's believing what he's asking. Now, 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. In other words, they crowded in on him, even. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Now this woman had suffered a long, long time, 12 years that she had lived with this issue of blood. But listen to her faith. When she had heard of Jesus, came in and pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She's not saying I might be, I may be. She said, I shall be whole. 29. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, 30. Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" He already knew, but he's asking this so he can speak to her. And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and saith, Thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She told him all the truth. Now, here in 34, and he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." In other words, it's gone. But she already knew that. She already felt it. And that was just by touch of his clothes. 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which saith, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" The one that had first went to him, this man that had this sick daughter, now Jesus had stopped because of this woman, and now he's being notified that he needn't bother the master anymore, that his daughter is dead. 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." You see, it's that belief, it's that faith that will carry us through whatever we have to face. He's not promising you and I that we never have to face trouble, that we never have to face sickness, that we never have to face these trials and tribulations, but he's letting us know he is there to carry us through. And we'll come out on the other side stronger and better than we were when we went into it. And all of you that has been listening to me for the past few years even, you have seen and heard the change in me and even in this ministry as God has changed it. And he's not through yet. Because you see, we are always learning. And we'll still be learning the day that we depart from this life. This book is so full of knowledge, there's no way that we can ever know it all while we're here. Because this word tells us that if all the books were written that could be written from this one book, this world wouldn't hold it. That's a lot of knowledge. But we can carry the knowledge that God wants us to have in order to do the work he has for us. The moment that you become saved, you begin to change then. But then when you grow enough to become born again, God has already had a plan planned out for you and your life. And if you will follow the guide of the Holy Spirit, you'll find out what that is. Now, all right, 37. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the turmoil and them that wept and wailed greatly. They were all in there crying and all. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Because he knows he's going to raise her. And they laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in there. The damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumin, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. He spoke to her first in Hebrew. And when that was interpreted for you and I, it meant damsel, arise. 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. But she was of the age of 12 years old, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Causes a lot of astonishment, don't it? Look how many times we've read about that just in this chapter. And we've seen it in most all of our chapters. 43. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. And we've come to the end of chapter 6. And now, I mean chapter 5. And we're about ready to get into chapter 6. We may get through chapter 6 and we may not. It is a long chapter of about 56 verses. Now, but we're going to get to where the good Lord takes us. Verse 1, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jose, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They're hearing, but they're offended. And a lot of them today, when we give them the truth of this word, as it is recorded, they are offended and want nothing else to do with it or with us. And that's why we're told in God's word that the road to the kingdom is straight and narrow, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way of destruction, and many there be that will go that way. And once we begin to get the understanding of God's word, it's not hard to see why. Because they are going against the word of God and against the Lord Jesus Christ and against the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And you'll find that once you become that born-again child of God, you're going to find out how much truth is in that verse right there. That fourth verse there, of chapter 6 of Mark. You may want to remember that. And those of you that have already become a born-again child of God, you know what I am telling you is so and is the Word of God. Now, 5. And he could not there do mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. He was still speaking to them and teaching, but most wasn't paying any attention. There was a few, but it was very few that he could even do healing with, because he went back to his own place. Now, here in verse 7, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. Excuse me, pardon me. Now, how would you like to be in that shape today? And let me tell you something. How many of your pastors would travel like that? No. They couldn't take no scrip, no bread, no money, no food in their purse. You see, they had to put their dependence on him. But be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. They couldn't even put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Think of this power they're walking with. And they have not been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus was still here on the earth, but he's given them the power because they're doing it with his power. Now, and they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now you see, they can work, but they haven't been sealed yet. They have the Holy Spirit working with them, yes, but they haven't yet been sealed with him. Because that won't happen until the day of Pentecost. Now, 14. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Now the King Herod, he's proclaiming Jesus to be John the Baptist, brought back to life, after he had him beheaded. Others said that it is Elijah. And others said that it is a prophet or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For God himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. And that's why he was actually in prison, is because of the way Herod was living with this woman, which had been his brother's wife. Now he had married her. And John had let him know, no, that's not right. For John had said to him, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. 19. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, the Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the says Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. So he gave his word to this young lady, which was the daughter of this woman. And this woman's got all of this against John, and she gets a hold of her daughter. And let's find out what goes on now. 24. And she went forth and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, her mother said to her, the head of John the Baptist. You see, it's her mother that was really wanting him killed. But she's telling her what to ask for now. 25, and she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. All because he had told her that he'd give her whatever she asked. Now, 27. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in the charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. Now, You see, they had gotten exactly what they wanted. But you know, they all had to stand before him, before the Lord Jesus, when they left this life. Now, 29, and when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. He's letting them rest for a little while now. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and went and out with them, and came unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country around about, to the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. You see, Jesus is concerned for them. Although he has sent his disciples now to a place where they could get rest for a while there. Now, 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worths of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. We got 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And they wasn't very big fishes either. They were just small fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. They were all filled now. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. That's just the men. That wasn't counting women and children that was there. Now, you know, you just don't stop and realize when you became a born-again child of God, God put in you what you are holding inside of your heart. That's why we had to be born again. That heart had to be circumcised. It had to be clean and empty so they would dwell there. And that's why We get hunger and hunger and hunger each and every day for the Word of God. And if you are truly a born-again child of God, you cannot get enough of it. That's why we never quit studying the Word. It doesn't matter how many times we go over it, because a lot of it we are not going to remember. And then the next time we'll pick back up with that, it'll bring to our remembrance, and we may need it for a purpose at that time. But you see, God's always using what we have had that is in us. We put it in there. We may not remember it, but the Holy Spirit knows. And He's the one that's going to do the work of it. Through you and I, we have become the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the hands, and the legs of Almighty God for Him to use here on this earth. And that is all because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we went to, that is our Savior, our Messiah. Think about this. And He'll also be our judge. We need this Word of God badly. Now, 45. And straightway, He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while He sent away the people. And when He had sent them away, He departed unto a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. And He saw them toiling and rowing, and the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. These are His disciples, and they've seen Him walking on the sea, and they're crying out because they think it's a spirit. For they all saw Him and were troubled, and immediately He talked to them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They hadn't even thought about them. About being fed. And about the loaves and the fishes. And all because their heart had been hardened. You see, they were still just men. But when Jesus would send them out, He would equip them for that time out. And then the next time they'd make a trip, He'd equip them. But they didn't have that seal of the Holy Spirit as of yet. Now, 53. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of the Gennesaretus, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew Him, and ran through that whole region around about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard He was. And whithersoever He entered into the villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Because you see, Jesus is the one that was filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's why he went back to heaven, so he could send it back to you and I today after he paid the price for us. We're not on our own. You're not drawing not one breath on your own. You couldn't get your next breath if it wasn't for God Almighty. And you that are not his, one day you'll take that last breath and won't be able to get the next one. And you're going to stand before him and hear him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Think about it. And you'll wind up with your seat in hell with weeping and gnashing of teeth until after. You're going to sit there with Satan and his demons in that torment until after the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to the earth and sets up his thousand-year millennial reign here on the earth. And you're still where you are now. But even with that is probably a lot better on you than where you're going to be. Because at the end of that thousand-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ will be the great white throne judgment. And all that has not made heaven their home, along with Satan and his demonic bunch, and hell and all that's in hell, and hell itself, will be cast into a lake of fire that will burn for eternity. And as the scripture says, the word never dies and never no way out. Think about that. Now you want to trade your life here on earth for that instead of doing what God is asking of you to do and become his child and seek his kingdom? No, that's not what I want. Is I want God's kingdom. I want my home in heaven. I want to spend my eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. That's what I want. I want to praise them always. I want to thank them always. I want to serve them always. We've come to the end now of chapter 6. And God willing, come morning at 10 a.m., we'll be picking back up in God's Word for chapter 7. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we are very thankful for your word. And you know that because you know our hearts. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I'm asking now to be with us throughout the evening and the night. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. let us rest, and come morning, let us raise to face another day and to be used by you, Lord, to help others that are walking in darkness and those that are weak. Help us, Father, to reach out to them, to give them the help they need so that the Holy Spirit can bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and they can have that faith placed in them and placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they'll begin to study and to work in your word, and that they will find a church that is teaching your word in truth. Not those, Father, that are teaching a lot of things contrary to your word, but that are teaching the truth to grow mightily so that they also not only make their home in heaven, but that they are used here on this earth to help bring in the harvest before it's too late. Lord, I pray for those that will hear this message that are sick. I'm praying for their healing, Father. And I'm praying for that healing in Jesus' name, knowing that the Holy Spirit is touching them with that power and bringing about that healing in their lives, and move them into that kingdom, making them born again children of Almighty God. Father, be with us now. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless. You know, we all need to get stronger. Stronger every day in the Lord and in the Spirit. Because your life is to be walked in the Spirit of Almighty God. He knows your needs. Let Him, depend on Him. Put your dependence on Him, knowing that He will supply your needs. He said He would, and He will. But He does it in His time and in His way. But He will do it. Because, you see, He don't lie. His word doesn't lie. That's why our faith is to be in Him. Now, that's just something I wanted to share with you. Because I love each and every one of you. The Lord loves me. The Lord loves you. We are to love each other. And I do. Because Jesus loved me first. And He had a plan laid out for my life. And now I know I can follow that plan the way He wants it done. What a day this has been. The last couple of days. And I don't see no end coming soon. Praise the Lord God. Praise Him almightily. Thank Him for every moment and for everything in my life. And I'm thanking him for setting up this ministry and bringing it forth as he wants to bring it forth. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Thanking you all for what you have done for mankind and for me. And I'm giving this praise and this thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening, everyone. Have a great night. Hold on to God. He'll hold on to you. Good evening.